Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me without the microphone? Am I okay without the microphone?
Yes.
I'm tired of carrying this thing around. Can y'all hear me in the back?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been told I have a microphone voice. You know, I heard a long time ago about a preacher named C.H. Spurgeon who used to run a school for preachers. And back in those days, they didn't have microphones, you know, so the preachers had to have these big barrel chests because they had to speak loud to large crowds of people. So, according to C.H. Spurgeon, if you didn't have a nice big barrel chest, you wasn't called to the ministry. So, you wouldn't be accepted in this school. Well, thank God, I don't have a big barrel chest, but I do have a loud enough voice. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
We learned that last Friday as we were teaching that Operation Eye Care. We learned to put our past behind us.
Yes.
We learned that we were ambassadors for Christ. We were ministers of reconciliation. You got to recognize who you are in Christ. It's important that you know this Bible.
Yes.
Because, see, the world will tell you something, and the Bible says something different, and you've got to make a decision which one you're going to believe. Either you're going to believe this, or you're going to believe what they say. And one of the things the world does tell you is that you can't forgive. Some people will tell you that. They tell you that forgiveness means letting, you know, basically pretending like something didn't happen. Pretending like the hurt that happened to you didn't happen. That's not what forgiveness is. There's a lot of misconceptions about forgiveness. Well, forgiveness may take you time to forgive somebody. No, you can forgive somebody right away.
Yes.
Now listen to me. I didn't say your hurt will heal right away. No, that won't happen. But you can forgive somebody right away. Yes. You can simply make up your mind, I'm gonna do it. Now the pain may still be there. The pain of what they did to you might still be there. But you can still make a quality decision that I will forgive the person that hurt me.
Yes.
And I will tell you that forgiveness will benefit you in the long run. Let me tell you this. That person that hurt you, do you think they care about the fact whether you forgave them or not? Most people do not. Most people, if they cared about whether you forgave them or not, they wouldn't have hurt you in the first place. If they cared anything about you, the forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. The forgiveness is for you, and you're going to learn that in this series of lessons. Last week, we went over some things. I wish I could tell you to just get the CD, but the CD, the recording did not come out well at all. You can hear my voice, and you can hear the teaching, but there's a lot of static, which is very, very, very annoying. That's the other reason why I won't use the microphone right now. I want to make sure that trying to see whether it's the microphone that's caused this or what was it. But we're going to quickly go, for the benefit of those of you who weren't here, we're going to quickly go over what we went over last week. First, we talked about what forgiveness is. And one of the things we learned was that it means to release someone from a debt. We looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, which says, "Forgive us," in the King James Version, I like the King James Version way of putting it, "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So when you are forgiving someone, you are releasing them from a debt that they owe. In Matthew chapter 18, we read the story of the parable that Jesus gave, where the man was taking account of all that his servants owed him. And there was a man that owed him, like, I would guesstimate from the talents that they talked about, maybe probably close to $1 million. Let's just put it that way. And the man came, and the Lord was about to throw him into prison. And the man came and begged for mercy. And so the Lord had compassion on him and said, okay, I forgive you. And then, not so soon after he left the Lord's presence, he goes to some other dude that owed him about $5, takes him by the throat and says, give me all that you owe me. And so the guy did the same exact thing that he did to the Lord and said, please, just have mercy on me. I'll pay you everything I owe you. Oh, no, no, no. You ain't getting away with that one. You owe me, buddy. And so he went and had him arrested and thrown into prison. So when the others, seeing how he had been shown mercy for over $1 million and got upset and threw somebody in prison for $5, they went to the Lord and said, do you see what he did? You know that ain't right. And so the Lord said, yeah, you're right. That ain't right. Boy, come here. I forgave you $1 million and you couldn't forgive that dude $5? You know, you need a woman. So he turned him over to the tormentors until he should pay everything that owes. And then Jesus made this sobering statement. He says, so shall my Father do likewise unto you if you do not forgive everyone from their heart. So forgiveness is releasing someone from a debt. We're going to get more into that particular passage as throughout this series. But it also means to extend to them what they do not deserve. Amen. That's what's called mercy. You are to extend to people what they do not deserve. Well, he don't deserve my forgiveness. Of course he don't. She don't deserve for me to forgive her after what she did to me. Of course she don't. I agree. She does not deserve your forgiveness. He does not deserve your forgiveness. They don't deserve your forgiveness. Child, do you know what she did to me? Yeah, I know. They don't deserve it. But that's what mercy's all about.
Amen.
It's giving them what they do not deserve. We read Psalm 103, verses 8 through 11, which talked about how God does not reward us according to our own iniquities. And see, God expects us to do the same thing with other people. Do you know what you've done to God? Do you know how much you have hurt the heart of God? And God has forgiven you anyhow? God expects you to do the same thing. I like the way the Message Bible piece puts that. He says, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. God does not do to you what you deserve. We all deserve hell, don't we?
Amen.
We all deserve hell. All this, you know, some of us might say, well, I didn't go out and shoot nobody. Me neither. Well, I didn't go out and rape nobody. Neither did I. But you know what? I was still on my way to hell just like you was. Oh, let me tell you something. If there was ever a Boy Scout before he was saved, I was a Boy Scout, okay? Yes, I cared about people. I didn't mind. You know, I was so kind and so considerate. I would drive my friends to the liquor store and wouldn't ask them for a dime for gas. Sometimes I would even buy the liquor for them. I just thought I was doing a kind act for them. Them old drunks. Yeah, I would hang out with them while they were smoking a reefer. May even help chip. You know, I didn't smoke it. And I thought I was good. I was such a great guy. But I hung out with them when they were doing it. Would chip in, maybe help them pay for it if they didn't have any. Oh, I was a good boy. I was such a sweet boy. I was going to bust hell wide open. Just like you were. So you may have done more than I have done. But in God's eyes, I was on my way to hell.
Amen. Amen.
Just like you.
Yes.
So when God came and told me he loved me in spite of myself, in spite of my sin, and told me that he had a plan for my life and he would use me if I would just dedicate my life to him.
Yes.
You know what? I found out that love is, there is no forgiveness in love that surpasses God's. But I learned what forgiveness was.
Yes.
Which was to extend to somebody what they do not deserve.
Amen.
You know, one of the very first lessons that God taught me after I gave my life to Christ in July 22nd, 1984. One of the first lessons God taught me was to forgive. Because some people had hurt me very badly. Now, how many of y'all have ever been hurt in here before? How many of y'all have been hurt by somebody? How many of you have been wrong? How many of you been wrong? You've all been wrong, haven't you? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever wronged anybody? How many of you have ever hurt anybody before?
Yeah, I have.
All right. I mean, sometimes we don't see the hands go up when we go to the second part. See, we can always focus on what somebody did to us. It's hard for us to remember what we did to somebody else. Oh yeah, I've done some people wrong. Not only before I was a Christian, I've done people wrong even after I was a Christian. So I can't even say that I was such a good goody-goody two-shoes after I gave my life to Christ. Now, I have grown over the 23 years I've come to know the Lord. I don't do the things I used to do. But as I was growing, I did stupid stuff and I hurt people. Oh, but some people have done, they did me so wrong. People that call themselves my friends did me so wrong. Supervisors and stuff did me so wrong. I mean, you know, I did not want to forgive none of these people. I was hurting, man, when I gave my life to Christ. You know, I was just I don't know whether I had that face or not that people just like to pick on you. You know, you have that kind of, you know, there are some people that just, they just look like they're susceptible to be bullied or taken advantage of. I think sometimes I must look like that kind of person. Or at least I used to, because people don't do it no more. Maybe it's the Lord, or maybe it's the way I look at people sometimes when they try. but it used to be where people just took advantage of me and just did me dirty. And I was hurting. You know, I was so mad and so angry at some of these people. And the Lord told me to forgive them.
Yes, amen. Praise
He told me to forgive them.
Amen.
I mean, they made accusations not only against me, but my wife, making false accusations against us. Those things hurt. Say, you know, I won't even get into what was done. But the Lord, one of the first lessons I learned as a born-again Christian was forgive them.
Yes.
And you know what I did? You know, there's a lot of things I struggled with after I became saved, but that wasn't one of the things I struggled with. I said, Lord, if you told me to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. Because I know if I don't forgive them, you won't forgive me. Mm-hmm. And I made up my mind to forgive them.
Amen. Praise be to God.
And let me tell you something. I always recommend this. You know, there's certain things, you know, for example, if you've been abused by, for some of you women who have been abused by a man, if you've been abused by a man, there's no need to go find reconciliation right now. Just forgive him. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to go to him. Love him from a distance, okay? Because if a woman start beating me upside my head, I may forgive her, but I'm going to forgive her and love her from a distance. Because I'm not going to be going saying, okay, baby, I forgive you, and get whacked again. I don't recommend it. But for others, there might be a time when you might need to make reconciliation. And you do that. You know, like, one of the things I did when I had the opportunity, I went back to some of those people and showed them love. And one of the guys who had joined in and doing me wrong had been done wrong by the exact same people, not too long after I left, had been done wrong by them and came and told me about it. I felt bad for him. But see, that's what happens when you join in that kind of foolishness. And unfortunately, and this is where the Bible teaches that, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Every last one of those people that hurt me, something negative has happened to them. And I don't rejoice in it at all. I'd rather hear that they gave their lives to Christ. But see, the Bible says vengeance is mine. God can get that person better than you can.
No, that's right.
Don't. Your job is to forgive them and pray for them and pray for their salvation. My best, I tell you, when somebody does me wrong and has hurt me, I'd rather see them get saved and come to know Christ. That's my best revenge, because you know who I see behind all that? Is the devil.
Yeah, true. Amen.
And ever since I announced that we was going to preach this series of lessons, I have had every opportunity to walk in this. Every time I turn around, something has happened. Somebody trying to do something. I'm telling you, the past couple of weeks, and this week has been the worst. It's been opportunity to forgive. That's what it is. I just the way I look at it, I'm looking at it from a positive aspect. I have had opportunity to apply this teaching into my own personal life. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, let me ask you something. I mean, I want you to ask me this. Say, you know, because I have been tried on this forgiveness thing. So ask me this. Say, Pastor Troy, have you been tried?
Pastor Troy, have you been tried?
Come on, ask me. Pastor Troy, have you been tried?
Pastor Troy, have you been tried?
Lord, have mercy, have I been tried? Woo! I have been tried! I've been trying. Oh, it's been that bad, George. It's been that bad. Pastor Chris, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? You know? I have been trying on this thing. I know George came to me, you know, me and George talking this morning. He asked me, how's everything going? You know, I just wanted to pour out my heart to him, but I said, no, I can't just, I don't want to ruin this brother's morning, you know. But I tell you, I know what it's like to be tried on this. So y'all in good company. But I want to encourage y'all to pray for your pastor, because the devil's going to attack the leaders. Pray for not just for me, but for all the leaders here. You see, the devil's going to attack us, and we need prayer. Don't think, you know, because we're called that we're going to be automatically super strong. Super, you know, preachers aren't super Christians. Okay, we're just like flesh and blood, just like you. You know, we just have a calling and anointing that we have to walk in. But let's turn to Romans chapter 9. See, I'll tell you, certain things are easier to preach than to walk in. Because a lot of what forgiveness is preachable. Walking in it is easier said than done. So let me tell you, I understand your pain. When you say, I can't forgive, first of all, that's a lie, because you can forgive. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But I know. But let me say, when you say you can't, I understand how you feel. I sympathize with you. I know how it feels to be hurt. I know how it feels to be done wrong. I know how it feels to have that knife just lunged into your chest. You know, I won't even tell none of Evangelist Mowbray's business, but I was with him when he went through a lot of stuff last year. You know, at the height of his ministry, people just doing him wrong. I saw the pain that this man went through. But I admire him, because he just made up his mind he's just going to forgive him. You know, but people can, in the ministry especially, people will slap you around. Let me encourage those of you who feel that you're called, don't rush. Get your character built. Be able to stand strong. You know, because it's easy to come up here and preach. We all want to get up here in this pulpit. But it's living it. It's going to make a difference, because the devil's going to try you. Amen. On what you're preaching.
Excellent wisdom.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 15. It says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now here in Romans chapter 9 verse 15, we have insight into what is known in theological circles as the sovereignty of God. What we mean by the sovereignty of God is that God is the ruler or the Lord of everything.
Amen, amen.
He makes decisions and he can decide what he's going to do, and nobody can tell him what he's going to do.
Amen.
God is sovereign.
Yes.
He is the ruler of the universe.
Yes.
It's not a hard concept to understand. The United States is what is called a sovereign nation. In other words, nobody outside the United States can tell the United States how to run their business.
Yes.
Well, that's the same thing with God. God is a sovereign God, and nobody can tell him how to run his business.
Mm-hmm.
He can decide who he will have mercy on. He can decide who he will have compassion on. It's his complete decision on what he's going to do.
Yes.
You can't sit up there and say, well, how come you ain't having compassion on him, God? What's up with that? You ain't unfair. You ain't fair. You can't say, oh, you can say that to God. He'll let you say it. And, well, I wouldn't want to be there when you finish saying it. But see, God can decide who he will have compassion on and who he won't. Now, this is a true concept. Unfortunately, the great ivory tower theologians with their great oratorical skills and proper hermeneutics and diligent exegesis have taken this passage and have taught that God Almighty is arbitrary in who he gives forgiveness to. In other words, God has no preset guidelines on whom, this is what they teach now, not what the Bible teaches. God has no preset guidelines on whom he will give forgiveness to. If he has decided that you have been decreed from all of eternity to have his mercy and his grace, then that's what's going to happen. But if Evangelist Mowbray, if he has decided that you're going to be reprobate from eternity past, even before you were born, then that's just the way it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's all for his glory. This is a teaching called Calvinism. We won't get into this deep into this, but this is the way they understand this verse. Now, I understand this quite differently from them, because God, yes, has decided who he will give forgiveness to and who he won't. He's made up his mind who he will do it, but he has set guidelines.
Yes.
It's not an arbitrary thing where he has just decreed, okay, him, but not him, her, but not her. He has not done it that way. What he has done is that he has said, if you extend mercy, I will extend it to you. See, that's why we have to take scripture with scripture. Scripture must interpret itself.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, never take a passage, wrest it from the Bible, and build a doctrine upon it.
Right.
Never build a doctrine on one single passage. Take the Bible, cross-reference it with other passages, and see what God has to say about the whole picture.
Right.
When God was speaking this, Paul, who wrote the 9th chapter of Romans, God had been talking with Moses. And Moses had asked God, let me see your glory, Lord. And that's when God said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Basically, all God was saying was that, Moses, you have pleased me, the others have not, and because the fact that you have pleased me, I will have compassion on you, and I will show you my glory. And he did. He put, I wish I could have been there. Oh my goodness. He puts his hand on Moses and says, you can't see my face, but you'll see my back parts. And he walks past him and makes that proclamation Oh, man, that must have been a wonderful moment.
Hallelujah.
I tell you.
Amen.
But we're going to have more glorious moments than that when we get to heaven.
Yes, amen.
Ah, when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing it will be. But see, God will give you mercy when you extend it to others. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm teaching you why it's vitally important for you to forgive others. Why it's important for you to have mercy on others. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what?"
Gain mercy.
"Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what?"
Gain mercy.
"Blessed are the merciful, for why?"
They shall obtain mercy.
"Blessed are the merciful." Why?
"For they shall be shown mercy."
They shall obtain mercy.
Yes.
If you're not being, if God is not giving you mercy, maybe you need to look at whether you've been given mercy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not receiving mercy from God, maybe you should look at your walk of forgiveness and mercy. Mm-hmm. Have you been given mercy to people who are less deserving? Oh, yes. Again, I understand they may have hurt you. They may have done you wrong. You know, and I finally remember that song I was telling you about a couple, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. There was a bishop that, who was part of the, I mean, he was kind of the overseer of the pastor that me and Ann was under some time ago. And he was preaching at our church one day. And he was saying there was this woman that used to always call him up all the time, middle of the night, telling her all the problems that she had been going through, calling 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And so he said one day he's sitting on the side of the bed just listening to her. And then he started singing. He started singing to her right in the phone. "Hey, I want you to play another somebody done somebody wrong song." And she got mad. He started laughing. He said, "That's all you ever do is call me, tell me somebody done you wrong." Hey, I mean, that's why I don't like country songs. I mean, I'm just not a big country and western fan, because a lot of that be depressing me. "Tears in my beer and I think I want to cry." "Pick the fine time to leave me, Lucille." I mean, good grief. Everybody, somebody done somebody wrong in them country and western songs. "I left my heart in Kentucky." Yeesh. This stuff is depressing, man. I mean, I know there's some good country and western songs. You know, one of my favorite ones was "Take This Job and Shove It." You know, that was my favorite song there. Yeah. "Take This Job and Shove It." I wanted to tell that to a few people. Unfortunately, I didn't want to get fired because I couldn't afford to tell them to take the job and shove it at the time. All right, but praise God. Yes, I forgave. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Y'all got me started on them country songs. Shame on y'all, leading y'all pastor the wrong way. Look at how he just blames everybody else but himself, right? Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, begin at verse 36. You know, one of the things the Bible has, what I would call spiritual laws. You see, because God, He's a personal God, but He also believes in reciprocal relationships. He says, "Those who honor me, them I will honor. In other words, God is a give and take kind of God. He will give you what you put into the relationship. He will give it back to you in abundance. And he demands, God has made the first move by extending certain promises to you and I. But then he says, now it's your turn to do it the way I told you to do it, or else you don't get the promise that I gave. And so that's what I like to call spiritual law. Certain things will work for you if you do them right. For example, the law of electricity. It can work for you or it can work against you. I thank God for the law of electricity. He's got these lights on. I don't know how it works, but I know one thing. I know what not to do. I don't wet my finger and go put it into a light socket.
Right.
Because then I know that the law of electricity that is meant to benefit me will now work against me.
Amen.
Well, there's a spiritual law concerning forgiveness too. See, we've already seen that God has the sovereign right to decide how he will extend his mercy to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And now he tells us exactly how to get in on that mercy that he's willing to extend. And we look in Luke chapter 6. It says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and I might just think about forgiving you."
No.
Forgive, and maybe if it's if I'm in a good mood, then I just might forgive you.
No.
Wait a minute. Y'all got a different Bible version than I got. Are y'all on the right page? I'm on 1409 of the Bible. What page are y'all on? No. All right. No, forgive and ye shall be forgiven.
Yes.
That is a guarantee. If you forgive, God guarantees you that you will be forgiven.
Amen, amen.
But that works just the opposite. You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Right.
We saw that last week in Matthew chapter 18. You fail to forgive, God will not forgive you. I mean, you know, it just makes me laugh because Peter is the one who introduced the subject to Jesus. Peter asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" I like Peter. Because me and him, we are almost alike, I tell you. See, I can't identify with Apostle Paul because Paul was, you know, he was just a great man of God, you know. You know, it seems he was. If there was any man that lived that was closest to Jesus, it was Paul. Now, Peter, on the other hand, he was a mess just like I was and him. Peter said, "How many times should I forgive? Seven times? You know, you get the counting. All right, that's the sixth time. You only get one more. One more, and then I got you, boy." Jesus said, "Seven times." He said, "No, but 70 times seven." And in other words, Jesus was saying, don't keep count. See, some of y'all still look at that. Well, 490 times, huh? All right, that was 420. You only got 50 more to go. I'm going to get you good. Yeah. See, some of y'all be calculating that up. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was 300. You only got 190 more. And I'm going to slap you. See? But see, we can't be counting. Mercy does not count how many times somebody did us wrong. Now, try to understand when I say this, because I'm not telling you to be a carpet. You don't let somebody just walk all over you either. But what I am saying is that if somebody did you wrong, let it go. Don't harbor that thing. Don't sit there dwelling on it. Don't sit there calling your friends. "Yo, man, you know what that? Man, I'm going to whoop it. You wait till I see him. I'm a clocking boy. Girl, you know what she did to me? I can't believe it." You know, that's all right the first time, but when you call, when you're talking about that thing, same thing every day, you get on your friends' nerves too. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, sometimes, even in the unsaved world, they're finally like, "Listen, will you shut up about that?" Sometimes people get annoyed with that. But see, some people got that thing all in them. And see, and they're not free. That person has them bound. That person has them in prison. They can't think, they can't concentrate on anything but what so-and-so did to them. You got to get free from that. And the best way to get free is to make a decision get free. Sure. You just say, I am not going to allow myself to be ruled by this thing.
Amen.
You see, it's like being in prison. And somebody opens the door wide and says, you're free to go. And you sit there. And the guard is like, yo man, it's time for you to go. He's just pacing back and forth in the prison, walking up to the prison door with, that's wide open, and you're still there. You know, that's what you're doing to yourself. You have kept yourself in prison by not forgiving. Reminds me of a rap song, a Christian rap song I love listening to Christian rap. I used to be a rapper, y'all know that? Hey, I was telling Kara the a couple weeks ago. My name was Righteous T. I was Righteous T, righteous as can be, because that's what Christ has done for me. I mean, and back then, that was the bomb. Okay, it may not be, cool with the young, with some of you young folks now, but back then, that was, back in the '80s and nineties, that was the kind of rap we did. You know, I can't do the stuff y'all do now. You know, ours was a yes, yes, y'all, to the beat, y'all, check it out, y'all, don't stop. Just throw your hands in the AI. That was us, you know. I mean, now they the way they do it now, I like it, but I can't do it. I mean, but some of that stuff is pretty good. They are, the evolving and the creativity of a lot of the young people these days. I just love it. I want some rappers in this church.
Yeah.
I want rappers here. I want some hip hop, shoe bop the bop. Check it all out and don't you just stop. Just do it. Just do it. Hey, I'm Righteous T, righteous as. I might get up there and win them one day. They'll be like, Pastor, sit down. Let me give them that old school stuff. Praise God. I remember a rap song I heard. It was something to the effect of, what you doing in jail when Jesus paid your bail? Why are you in jail when you have a get out of free card? You just make up your mind, I will forgive that person. You make a quality decision. The hurt, you can't do anything about. You have to allow God to begin the healing process.
Amen.
But God won't heal until you have said this. And you have to say it out loud. You got to speak it. You can't just say it in your mind. You need to speak it out loud. Father, I forgive so-and-so for, and then fill in the blank.
Yeah.
What did so-and-so did do to you? Speak it. And you be honest with God. Yeah, God, it hurt me what they did. It hurt me what so-and-so did. But God, I forgive them.
Amen.
And then you let the devil know, devil, you can't torment me with that thing anymore because I forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to make reconciliation with somebody, do it. But like I said, don't get yourself in a situation. You don't have to do it with everybody. Just use wisdom. Later on in the series, I want to talk to you about the misconceptions concerning forgiveness. That's one of them that you got to right away go run to everybody. I forgive you. Some of them don't care. Some of them could care less. They're ready to hurt you more. Oh, you do, huh? Well, you forgive me for this? Yeah, so you got to be, I'm serious. You got to be careful. was just mean, man. Oh, glory to God. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. You getting anything out of this?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Mm-hmm. So there's the spiritual law right there. You forgive, God forgives. But it goes on to say, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's the way it works. It's just like we talked about the law of electricity. Same thing. Law of gravity. Law of gravity, I thank God for it, because everything stays on the ground. You know, excuse me, my white brothers and sisters, but I always said, you know, when I was younger, I used to say, a black man don't belong in outer space. I could never be an astronaut. Because I like stuff on the ground where it belongs. But gravity keeps things where it belongs. It works for you. So you don't have to go floating around trying to get your stuff. You don't have to try. You don't pour milk in your cereal bowl and the milk is floating all over the place. That wonderful law of gravity can also work against you. All you got to do is get up on a tall building and then try to jump and see what happens. Remember, they tried to do that to me when I was younger. You know, back when I was younger, even though I wasn't a bit more saved than the man on the moon, I believed in God. And you could tell I was called to preach because I was always trying to preach to people about God. Even though I was living like a devil, just like them. Tell them, God this, God that. One day, one of them got so annoyed with me and said, "Troy, if you believe so much in God, why don't you jump off this balcony and see if God will catch you?"
No, just like the devil.
Yeah, just like the devil did to Jesus. Now, Troy might have been stupid, but he wasn't no fool. Mama didn't raise no idiots, okay? I didn't know how I was going to get out of that one. Because I didn't remember that passage about Jesus at the time. You know, "Tempt ye not the Lord thy God." But I told him, "Man, that's just stupid." So, but I knew, I had enough sense to know that working against the law of gravity would have killed me. That same law that was keeping me on the balcony, if I was stupid enough to work against that law, would have killed me. Would have killed my behind. Do you hear me? So the law of forgiveness is the same way. And see, people don't understand this law. And they expect, see, for some people, some reason, they have this fatalistic idea that God is so loving, he's so kind, he's going to forgive me no matter what. That's ridiculous thinking, and it's, you know, and that's only people, I would even say the people who don't know the Bible, because some people know these scriptures, and they still think it's okay for me to harbor a grudge. It's just like these scriptures, they're just blinded to this truth. My friends, if you want God's mercy, if you want his forgiveness, you have got to do what he says.
Amen.
Is it, he has extended. You can't sit up there and say, "Well, how come God, he should be kind to me no matter what?" That ain't yours, your call. It is his call. It is his decision whether he's going to show you forgiveness or not. And he has told you exactly how you can receive it, so you are the fool for not receiving it the way he has extended it. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. We're going to get into a couple more things. Well, just one more thing. I don't want to keep you here too much longer. Mark chapter 11. It's the next book over. You were in Matthew, then just go right to Mark. Now I want you to understand the consequences of not receiving God's forgiveness. If you don't forgive and God doesn't forgive you, it's not just a matter of God being mad at you and not, okay, I'm not going to, well, you ain't going to forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you either. See, it's not like me, for example, if I say, Ann, unless you forgive Louie, I'm not going to forgive you. Ann can just say, well, so what? I just won't come here no more. I don't have nothing to do with you. You see, because Ann doesn't get any real practical benefit out of me not forgiving her. She can still harbor a grudge against Louie and not follow my conditions. Mm-hmm. You see, but with God, how many of y'all know we need Him?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
How many of y'all know we need Him to answer prayer?
Oh, that's right.
So, if God doesn't forgive you, you can bet your bottom dollar that you ain't going to get no answers to your prayers. God is a prayer answering God. That's, as a matter of fact, that's one of His covenant names. The Lord who hears and answers prayer. That's one of His covenant names. For Him not to hear and answer your prayer means you done messed up. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Let's begin at verse 22. This is one of my favorite passages. You know, some of us, you know, faith preachers, we just thrive on this passage, boy. You know, ever since Kenneth Hagin came out and taught this revelation 50 years ago or 60 years ago, however long it was, you know, everybody just beat this passage left and right, up and down. Some of it they done went to terrible extremes on. You know, what we call name it and claim it. You know, you can have whatsoever you say. I say I got that car. That's my house. You're a fool. I still consider myself a faith preacher, okay? I believe in the principles of the faith message. I don't believe in the extremes that it went to. I remember back in the early days when all we was doing was confessing our house and our car. And, you know, some of us were going to debt trying to impress each other, showing how much faith we got. Yeah, look at my furniture, man. Look what God blessed me with. All I did was name it. Yeah, well, you need to start naming how you're going to pay all them bills. Credit card company calling now. See? You see, you wonder how come... Then when it gets... This used to make me laugh, because then when stuff gets repossessed, the devil stole that from me. Not the devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Repossession man just looking at him like they're weird. See, that's extreme right there. But see, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, amen? There's truth in the message of faith and making a confession that's in line with the Word of God. Saying the same thing God says. There's truth in those teachings. What we need to do is take the balanced truth that's in accordance with the Bible. See, it's truth in believing God for prosperity. But what is the purpose of it? For me, I need an abundance because there are people that are hurting in other countries. There are missionaries out there who need financial support. They're out there in the dirt and the grind. And if I can't be there, at least my dollars can do something for them.
Amen.
There are ministries like Feed My Sheep, Amen. Church on Wheels, Operation Eye Care that needs finances. Because they're helping the poor and the needy. If I'm broke, I can't help somebody else that's broke. Now can I? If we're both homeless, what are we both going to do? But as long as I have something to give to somebody. Now the difference between me and the homeless person is because I know God and a lot of the homeless people don't. And so we're trying to lead them to God, but we need finances in order to do that.
Amen.
Is that, did I get an amen on that from some
amen.
Of y'all that have been,
amen.
Especially those of you back there who've been homeless before and come to know Christ. It took a little bit of money to help y'all, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Somebody had to have some money. Pastor Christick had to have some money to bring y'all into his home, didn't he?
Yep.
If he didn't have any money, he was out on the streets, he wouldn't have been able to get y'all out of the cold now, would he? Yeah, so it takes money.
Amen.
It takes money for this man to drive to get that van so he can drive around and preach to those people out on the streets. We're going to believe God for that money.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to believe God for a bigger house for Operation Eye Care.
Amen.
But I've gotten off my point. All right. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them."
Amen.
Isn't this a wonderful, positive scripture?
It sure is. Amen.
It's almost unbelievable, ain't it? But it's true. God, if your heart is right with God, you can have whatsoever you say. Now, again, the qualification, your heart has to be right with God. Because you can't say, "I believe God for a kilo of cocaine. I'm going to sell it and give it to the poor." Yeah, right. You lying dog. No, but you can believe God for things because your heart is and your motives is right and you want to help somebody else.
Amen.
This scripture tells us that we can believe God for great things.
Yes.
That's like I told y'all a few weeks ago when we were talking about when we were teaching on prayer and talking about, you know, how things could be different. And we looked at Psalm 81. We saw that God is a God of abundance. He is willing to do abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. Don't insult God by asking for little. "Oh, I just want a piece of bread." No, ask God for the whole loaf, glory to Jesus.
Amen.
He is a big God and he wants to do great things for us.
Amen.
But he can't do great things for you if you ain't going to forgive. Verse 25 goes on to say, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now listen to that. He says, when you're praying, make sure that you forgive. In other words, if you ain't going to forgive, don't waste your time praying. Just don't even waste my time. Don't even waste my time talking to me. Because I'm not going to forgive you until you make up your mind to forgive that person that hurt you. You know what? Ain't nobody has done anything bad enough to me to where I'm going to miss out on God's abundant blessings. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing that bad to me to where I'm going to just harbor that thing, harbor it, and just not be able to spend time with my Heavenly Father, communing with Him, being blessed by Him, and receiving visible, tangible answers to my prayers. I can say this without bragging, because I'm not a bragger. I know everything that I have is in the mercy of God. But I can say the reason why I have very seldom failed to receive an answer to prayer is because I made up my mind from the get-go that I will forgive those who hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, I will never say it's easy. The past several weeks, I found out how really difficult it is. I've never had this many attacks before. Now, you know, back in, earlier, it's been a little easier, you know, somebody, you know, because I didn't, the devil has not attacked me to the extent that he has in the past several weeks. It's been like, wow. I mean, some of the other leaders have been going through the same things. It's been wild, man. I mean, every time you think it's over, then something else happens. I mean, even in my own home. But you know what? I made up my mind.
Yes.
To forgive.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Oh, the devil would like to see this ministry destroyed.
Yes.
He wants to see this destroyed at its genesis because the word of God is coming forth here.
Amen, amen.
The teaching of God's word is strong here and is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he didn't want the praise and worship to go, oh, I had a nice praise and worship just lined up today. Boy, it was cool. I mean, we're going to sing, I'm trading my sorrow. You know, we're going to get down and boogie. But this karaoke machine don't want to do right. But you know what? It just gives me opportunity to believe God.
Amen.
More fervently for that sound equipment.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But and God will only give it to me if I make up my mind to forgive.
Yes.
And I've made up my mind. There's no doubt about it. Glory to Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Amen. Thank you.